A big shout out goes to Maxxis Tires, Jensen USA, and Fox Shocks for supporting the Inside Line. Welcome, mountain bikers.
USDH Race Weekend Edition.
Vital Empty Beers, you heard him the last time at a Windrock race, and he was a race dad at that moment, but now he is a race, what do you call it, a race runner?
I guess it'd be race director.
Race director. Oh, I like that. Okay. How did this first one go, buddy? We're just like an hour out of podiums for the folks at home. How do you feel?
I feel good. You know, first Monster Energy Pro Downhill Series, there's been so much build up to this. Like, we have the number of hours from the number of people that went into this, no one will ever know. I mean, there's people on my team that have pulled multiple near all-nighters this week. Yeah. We battled weather. We lost some of our equipment to wind. We battled connectivity issues. We had timing system go down today. We had awards delayed while we dealt with that. So we had some challenges. But those things aside, honestly, it was just an incredible race. We had 375 registered racers. We had 54 Cat 1 17, 18 racers. I mean, that's incredible. That's what we're building this series for. You know, we want this next crop of racers to be able to build a career in America, not have to always go overseas to race. And between the men's and women's, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, 18, I mean, that's the majority of the people we have racing here. Yeah. So it's incredible to watch.
Can you – I know you're busy. What – I overheard
– I got time
slightly,
for you, Jeff.
But what were the payouts? Because
we're trying – like, up. So with U.S. Open, we've always made a big deal about the payout, right?
Yeah.
So and we do want to have a good payout, but it's not necessarily about that. It's published. It's on our website. We don't keep anything secret. Everything's on our website. But it was – so we paid out about $15,000 at this race.
Okay.
And so it was $3,000 to the winner, equal men's and women's, and we pay five deep.
Nice.
So,
beautiful.
Yeah, I think it's – if people knew how hard it was to get that prize money together, they would be more impressed with those numbers.
Right.
The U.S. Open has a long buildup. The way we got that up to a $15,000 prize took
and
it,
I mean,
decades.
It's one race out of the year, and you have to run now a sustainable
Correct.
Race and be able to pay people and want to keep it fair, but not too cheap, not too expensive.
It needs to stand out. You know, it's a national level race. It needs to stand out, but we need to be, there's things we can invest in. We can invest in, honestly, more staff. I think that if the, the average racer knew the difference between, you know, what it cost to pay prize money versus what it cost to have staff to help run these things. And you see, I mean, we ran my team ragged this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, there's only about 10 of us, and it is brutal on these weekends.
Yeah.
So that's a place we invest. You know, obviously, if it was easy, we would make the prize money higher.
Right.
We'll get there, though. It'll go up. You know, ultimately, to me, when I came into this, I wanted a $5,000 first place and potentially a 10 deep payout for the entire season.
Yeah.
But as everybody knows, it's a really tough year in the bike industry.
Yep.
I mean, if you look across the sponsors, right? So we have Monster Energy stepped up, Continental and Fox. Those are our three biggest sponsors. And then obviously like GoPro, SR Sun Tour, a handful down the line. I thinking on the fly here of Can-Am, Thule, and basically it's interesting. I don't know if anybody noticed this, but there's not a single bike brand on the wall here. We don't have a single bike brand sponsor. When we started this, the goal, you know, we've built up, the goal is to have the bike brands have buy-in. And the reason we want it is we want them to be invested. We want them to bring teams, similar to motocross. Everybody knows I say it all the time. It's like, I'm trying to make the motocross of mountain bike championship. Right. But that sport is monetized better. Those athletes get paid more. The people in my position make more. Everybody makes more because they've provided value for partners, right? So racing is marketing. And if we can't provide value for partners, then we won't see that. And we, coming into this year, you know, this has been multiple year buildup, and we've had lots of conversations, and there's many brands in the industry that want to be part of this. And just with the way the economy went for the bike companies this year, they couldn't be part of it. And, you know, no hard feelings on our part. We get it. I mean, I have an inbox full of bike companies that are cheering us on and watching along and saying, we'll be there next year. You know, we want to support this. We want U.S. race teams. We want to have U.S. race trailers. We want to get back to that.
That's awesome.
You know, and that's great. So And I guess the reason I'm saying it is, you know, if we can do it in this year, yeah, and maybe we have to cut the prize money back, and maybe we cut back on staff, and maybe we do things like put the finish arch up at 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
It happens, but yeah, we'll get there. We'll get better.
Well, it was an amazing race, and amazing time. I think everyone had a great time. It smiling faces, great weather. And like, as I was just talking to Grizz, and like he said, he hasn't felt, you know, this type of energy since the Norba days. And I can't speak to that. I was off doing other stuff, but you were around. Are you trying?
It's a crazy question. I get this. You don't need to finish. Let me cut you off.
Go.
No, we are not trying to bring back Norba. There was a moment in time. I actually had a really good conversation about this with Lars. You know, Lars Tribue, our corral announcer, and my podcast co-host. And we have some good intellectual questions. We've both been around a long time, and we get that question all the time. And it just dawned on me, you know, people are like, oh, there was 20,000 people or 10,000 people, whatever the numbers were, at right, those races. And I go, but there wasn't a single person watching on Instagram or YouTube or Facebook. So if you want to actually compare apples to apples, everything in the world is different today.
Oh,
people
yeah,
don't get off the couch to go places. They consume it in different ways. So the reality is the metrics are different. I kind of think we're better than Norba's already. In the fact that we have athletes who are creating their own channels and their own content and entertaining people. It's small. It'll get bigger. But like, you know, Norba's nationals were great. I mean, they're incredible. They're V1 though. You know, we're moving on to, we're probably V3 now, I guess.
Yeah, I guess I didn't want to say compare you or say bring back Norba's.
I get it all the time though.
You know,
so
I feel like we finally have a chance to do that, to bring the racing back here more, and to have riders and brands strive to put their riders and people at these races instead of just the World Cup being the only thing.
100%. And so, you know, it's interesting you say that, because the other question I get, you bring back Norba's, and then are you gonna out World Cup the World Cup? And we're not trying to do that. No. This series was built. The foundation of the series, right to the reason Monster invested in it, wasn't necessarily for the pros. I mean, that's great. We want the pros here. But it was more so because of this bubble coming up through of all these 15, 16, 17, 18 kids that are fast. They're passionate. They've dedicated their life to it. You know, they treat it more similar to the way kids would treat other sports, right? Like some kids pursue soccer. These kids just pursued biking. It's normal for them. It was more of a fringe sport years ago, right?
Yeah, totally.
And so, you know, programs are starting to develop for kids to come up in the sport. And so like, that's why we really started this. So with that, you know, the goal personally, and I'll say this isn't my company goal. This isn't necessarily a series goal, but me, Clay Harbor, like my personal goal is to create a platform, create a league, if you will, where these kids don't have to leave the country. They don't have to race outside the country if they don't want to. And I'm not saying they can't, you know, it'd be great. But you look at other sports like moto again, you know, we have pro motocross outdoor here, MotoGP in Europe. Both are incredible, great series. You can't say a bad thing about either. But when an athlete doesn't have to try to find the funds to travel around the world to come up, it's a lot easier. So I think that really creates an opportunity for us here. You know, so, and nothing against World Cup, nothing against global sport, at all. It's just that's not the niche we're trying to fill.
Yeah, it's just you guys have a way easier in, I suppose, you know,
precisely,
to say, instead of thousands of dollars and a 50-50 shot at a World Cup, it's a lot more this is awesome. I just wanted to pull you aside before
we're halfway into a podcast. Let's grab some chairs,
dude.
Spomer's been trying to get me on a podcast for so many years, and I told him, and I'll say it on the mic right now, the only way I'm doing a Vital MTV podcast is when Spomer flies to where I am at a race and does it with me in person.
Oh, Spomer.
Called out.
You're going to have to come. Well, at least he could hang out with me and Grizz now. So I think he'll be happy about
that. I'm so
stoked
to have Grizz here, too.
Dude, so happy. Yeah, he's the man.
And he stepped up in that press conference and asking, like, great questions. Like, shout out, man. Thank you.
Yeah, he did. He knocked it out of the park. You knocked it out of the park. I will let you go and get your head back together.
That's going to take weeks.
You nailed it, dude. Thank you for everything.
Thank you, Jack. And thank you for what you do, buddy.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I have the legend here, Mr. Grizz, the one and only. mountain bike legend, unfortunately had a crash. How many years ago?
It's been decades now. 14 years ago this summer.
Oh man, yeah, which have prohibited you from doing your what you used to love to do. But you're back out here. You're showing up at races. What's going on this year, man?
Yeah, thanks for having me. What's up, Vital? We're talking to Vital, right?
Oh, we're talking to
Vital. Hi, Vital MTV. I'm wearing my You Can't Turn... Only you can prevent turn bars sweater today.
Vital swag.
Yeah, so I'm back in the downhill scene. I'm moved out to Wilmington, North Carolina a couple years ago from Idaho. So I'm living on the beach. Ooh. And no mountains to ride. So I ride cross country primarily. I do a lot of hunting.
Nice.
And ride my bike for hunting. But I'm out here. I'm doing the MCing for the Downhill Southeast series.
Yes.
And I'm doing the commentary for the YouTube recaps for the Monster Energy Pro Downhill series.
What Trill Will used to do?
Well, Trill Will and I are going to be doing the commentary together. But yeah, I'm replacing Trill Will on the MCing for the Downhill Southeast.
Beautiful.
And those are some big shoes to fill. Let me tell you, that dude's a legend around here.
Yeah.
He and I walked the track today together, and he couldn't get 10 feet without a entire crowd forming. And I'm like, oh, wow.
Glad
I didn't really know this before I did the round one, because I would have been way more nervous.
Will is the real deal. Definitely a local legend. But I can't think of anyone else that would fill his shoes better than you, dude. So I mean, this, how do you feel about it? Are you
well, that's honestly a great question, Jackie. Like, first and foremost, I love downhill, so my like whole motivation for is just to be a part of the scene.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah,
and be reconnected to. But at the same time, I'm also a big fan of history, and I'm realizing that my presence here has benefit to not myself as a brand or whatever, but my generation, man. Like, we're becoming forgotten dinosaurs.
Oh geez.
And we're not even 40 yet.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool to spread some of the heritage of a really difficult chapter of downhill racing, and just spread that awareness to these kids that don't know otherwise. Right. So I really love that.
To speak to that, like you said, I don't think a lot of people know that, you know, like Nissan and Volvo used to be sponsoring people. And it was because when I watched downhill, it was, you know, on TV, on ESPN2 and all this. And What I'm trying to get at is, where in the last couple of years, do you see it kind of coming back, or do you see it coming back in the way it was, or a different way? How do you think that'll shake out?
Well, specifically with this Monster Energy Pro Downhill Series, I haven't seen an effort into a downhill race or a national series since the Norba days.
Right, okay.
And that's, you know, we're going back 23 years now.
Yeah.
Because in 2003, Norba's basically got all of the funding pulled. Big funding was pulled. So not only that, but you've got the right people in the right places at the right time right now. You've got a very, very dedicated, passionate group of race promoters, racers, athlete managers that truly care about this sport and just want it to be better than it was when they were in it.
Got it.
And I align with all of that. So to be a part of it, it makes me feel whole again.
Sweet, man. people, it's great to see you out here. And I love working alongside you. I just wanted to get your take on the state of the union. But I will be checking back in with you next time I see you. So, yeah, I want you to bring me up to speed if possible.
Thanks, Jackie.
Thank you, brother. Vital Empty Beers, I'm here with Callie Horath. Callie is Nico's girlfriend for a long time now. She also runs Canoga Bike Park as well as Ride Rock Creek Bike Park.
True.
Dude, so how do you do all this? Two bike parks, crazy downhill boyfriend. How do you do all this stuff, Callie?
I don't sleep very much. I don't have much free time. But I love every second of it.
So, like, all right, 3 years ago, maybe four, this was all like a dream. Like, to see like where we're at now with all the signs up, the monster signs, the continental signs. Did you know it was going to happen like this or what?
Gosh, not at all. Like, when you think of 4 years ago, just when we started Canoga and that became a success, and we were kind of blown away by that. I mean, we were always looking at doing our own type of shuttle bike park. It was just finding the right mountain for it.
Yep.
And so, you know how things work out. We found this property and built a bike park, and the first year we had a few national champs, and now we're hosting one of the biggest national races aside from national champs. And so it's really humbling to see everyone come out and enjoy your hard work and all your labor. There's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears here.
Oh, I'm sure. It's
incredible to witness.
That's awesome. And I guess, are there any plans for any more, or what's the deal?
We're always scheming.
Yeah.
Always right? scheming.
Yeah.
Took a look at a property a few months ago, so we'll keep you in the loop.
All right. Well, more places to ride in the Southeast, and that's very much thanks to Callie. Thank you, Callie. And just keep scheming.
Thanks, Jackie.
You. They don't know it yet. They're talking, but I have two guys that used to put races on, sitting right next to each other, Nico Mullally and Sean Leader. What'd you guys think of the weekend? Let's put it that way first.
I think it was really cool to see this national series go off. There was a ton of people here. The level of the young riders coming up is really good. The race was super competitive. It was, I think, being a short track and so many top guys, it was pretty exciting that it was so competitive and racing in it. I think it pushed us all to like find just a little bit more, which is good preseason. So
cool.
Weather cooperated and it was, I think, pretty smooth.
Good. Did you like the feedback from people about the track and the place that maybe not haven't been here before? Did you get much of that or?
Yeah, I always get a lot of good feedback, right, Sean? They always tell me
tell Nico it's the best thing ever.
Everybody wants to tell me how good it is.
They don't know who I am, so I'll listen to the real feedback and then I'll pass it on.
Okay, so what was the dirt? You get any this weekend or what? How'd it go?
No, I think people were fired up. Clay puts on a good show, and that's what he's really good at, and he delivered this weekend.
He's done so many of them now.
I know, right? He's had 15 years, so that's a lot.
Yeah, and he's run events for other people as well along the way, so a lot of events, a lot of experience.
Do your boys plan to come back to these and have your riders and teams keep showing up?
Yeah, I mean, I hope to do them all this year. I think Angel's pretty focused on racing the World Cup, so I don't think he'll do any. But Asa loves it. He would every race that he possibly could. So and when he's back, he'll definitely be doing some of them with me.
Nice. Yeah, and this is our biggest focus. I want our boys to try and fight for some championships here.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And that's for?
Yeah, we've got two juniors, 15-16, Bryson Preston and Charlie Goldwyn, 17-18, and then Jack Peterson's Racing Elite.
Yep, and that's for Southern Gravity.
Yeah,
Southern Gravity. And Nico's team is Frameworks. Boys, I just wanted to try a double interview, and thank you for obliging me.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Good job, Jackie.
Vital Empty Beers. I have the pleasure of standing with my buddy, Corey Rimmer. Corey is owner and operator of Gravity Academy, CEO, coach, former racer, rider. Corey wears a lot of hats, a lot. And I did get the chance to talk with Doug at the last race, and he kind of broke down the Gravity Academy and the Gravity Collective. And all that being said, I just want to know how you're doing all this, man.
With a lot of good help. luckily this community is pretty good. We all help each other out. And just things kind of click into place, finding the right people at the right time, and just putting our nose to the grindstone, seeing what needs to get done, and trying to do it the best we can.
What you were for Windrock, you were out west. What were you getting into up there?
So we had a U.S. Pro Cup for XC, so we went out there in Temecula, California to race there. It's a big UCI XC race that Ty Caddy puts on, and then even this weekend while we're here at Rock Creek, our XC team's over at Fayetteville, Arkansas, doing another UCI round there, part of the XC National Series. And then we'll have a little break between now and then Europe.
Nice. I mean, I've known you a few years, and in those few years, I guess, what would you say sticks out the most as far as our scene and our riders that we're producing?
Definitely the growth, and then everyone's kind of on the same page of what needs to be happening. we all see needs what gets done, and it's just everyone's super proactive and like just, you know, and wants to do a good job, you know, and it's like everyone's doing a good job. Everyone, the races are great, the teams that are showing up are great, the competition's great, the courses are great. So it's like, you know, and it's we're very like, we've created an amazing culture, I think, you know, and it's like a culture of like positivity and working hard and making things happen. So, and that just fosters and that, you know, everyone that joins wants to, you know, fit that culture. And so it all works out, and everyone benefits from it. Sport benefits from it. And no complaints.
Cool, man. The last, I guess, I don't want to, the race is going on right now, but where do you see next 5 years, Gravity Academy? Next 2 years. All right, sorry, I know. I shouldn't have done that. Next 2 years, how many riders are you going to have on the team? What's it looking like? Are you even thinking of that, or are you just worried about?
I'm always thinking about what's next. And, I definitely don't see us adding more riders to the team.
It's like 50 or something?
Well, that's like combined. With XC, downhill, everything. So that's kind of like where we're at now. You know, and it's just always looking for the next talent. But really, our whole goal with the whole thing has been to create a funnel for athletes to be able to see and then participate in, to like reach to the highest levels that they want to, right? And I feel like we got a good national level team. This year we started the collective and kind of worked on our international presence. And then now we're going to work on kind of helping out our more regional-based teams. I think we're going to put more focus on educating them, giving them more tools, you know, from, you know, training plans to business models to help them be more sustainable. And, like, because we can only do so much. We can only have so much reach, right? For sure. So I think it's going to be important for us to kind of give back to, like, smaller teams that with information, education, and, like, how to, you know, get them to get riders, get them stoked about riding, get them stoked about racing, and, you know, and then so when they're ready to move on, you know, it's, you know, they kind of have this foundation of information, right? And they're not racing every weekend, and they're not, you know, just training their heads off, and, you know, and, you know, so that, you know, it becomes sustainable for them, really. So I think sometimes with kids coming from regional levels, we see two things, like either they're doing too much or they're maybe not doing enough. So just giving them information and how to, you know, make programs more sustainable and better utilized.
Well, you heard it there, folks. I mean, this is a pretty in-depth endeavor that these guys have taken on, and it just goes to show how much they care about all aspects, all, you know, coming from all sides of it. And man, I just wanted to catch up and appreciate you telling me all that.
Thank you, Jack. Thanks for telling the stories, man. I don't think a lot of stories get told enough, especially the smallest stories that happen around here. There's so many cool things happening right now, and I think it's really important that people know about it, you know. So I really appreciate you taking the time and effort and doing all that.
My pleasure, man. And we'll see you out there, bub.
Sounds good.
You Vital Empty Beers, I'm with John Hall, and we are in Ride Rock Creek, Zirconia, North Carolina. John is most known for being Aaron Gwynn's longtime mechanic, and last year wrenching for Seth, was it?
No, I was just pretty much line spotting guy at all the World Cups last year after Aaron got hurt.
Yep, that's right. So you were on the mountain.
I was on the mountain with all the boys.
Nice. Okay, well, things are a little different this year. What's the situation you got going?
Yeah, so I've got a full-time position at Intense Cycles now, working with the R&D and development team.
Oh, nice.
The engineers and Jeff Stieber. So that's kind of my main task, is work closely with those guys and have input where I can and apply my expertise to make the best bikes that we can for customers. So that's my main gig there. And then, this day and age, you got to wear a lot of hats. So I'll dip in and help marketing out and attend some events. And we'll be at Sea Otter.
Okay.
So I'll be there. Come by, chat while I'm there. I'm going to race that as well. So get to ride my bike and race a little bit more now that I'm not on the circuit.
Yep. Folks, just so you know, John went by me at Mock Chicken this morning. He is racing. So with that comes my next question, I guess, is How do you feel about this here? Will this be the first year in quite a few that you're not getting ready to go over the pond? Or
yeah, I've done it for 10 years straight.
Oh, my
so
God.
Without missing much other than a few, you know, injuries and stuff. But even last year, it still attended every round.
Yeah.
This year, I'm going to try to make it to one round, check in on the teams, hopefully somewhere in the middle of the season.
Okay.
To be determined which one. But, yeah, I'll make it out to at least one eventually this year.
How do you, I mean, personally, how do you, are you, like, happy to be home?
Oh, I'm stoked, dude.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, man, it's bittersweet, obviously.
Yeah.
I've loved that job and still do. But it was getting to the point, you know, I'm getting up there in years. I got a family at home.
Yeah.
So those big long trips and being gone for 4 and 6 weeks at a time.
Oh, yeah.
It's great when you're a young man.
Yes.
And I'm still young relatively, but also I'm approaching 40 and... I like the time at home with my girls and having a good stable job there at Intense, and doing what I still love to do and working and playing with bikes. So it's a win-win all around.
Awesome, man. Yeah, I've been just watching you know, throughout the off season, and you seem pretty happy. So that's awesome, dude.
Yep, and it's something Gwynny and I spoke about, I mean, last year even. And he's been nothing but supportive of it. He's still trying to get me to move out to Tennessee and put me on that Windrock
crew.
And nice stuff
little,
like that.
Nice
so
little residency out there.
He's the ultimate hype man for that kind of stuff. So, and I love, we stay in touch and check in on each other and make sure everything's going all good. So,
good.
And I love watching him do what he's doing now, man. It's so cool. And we've had a lot of conversations over the years in hotel rooms and airports.
Yeah.
Together, so I know a lot of what he's working on now has been a long time in the works and a big dream for him, and so I couldn't be more stoked for everything he's got going on as well.
Awesome. Well, yeah, it is bittersweet. I'm gonna miss you over there, but glad you got something and you're smiling and you're out here having fun. I couldn't be happier for you, buddy.
Yeah, dude, and it's a blast. And that's, I mean, I'm out here and the boys were hyping me up pretty hard. I wasn't going to come. And they were like, dude, just come hang out, bring a bike, ride, rate. And I was like, well, if I'm going to bring a bike, we may as well put it in the start hut and roll down the hill. And so I'm not out there trying to win anything. But it's so fun just riding bikes with the boys and doing laps on the track and all that kind of stuff. We're throwing shockers all over the place.
All right, man. Well, I won't take up any more of your time. Just glad to catch up and glad to see your next chapter.
Heck yeah, man. Thanks.
All right, bro. Thank you, John.
Hey, thank you, everyone. My name is Clay. I'm the race director for the Monster Energy Pro Downhill Series, the U.S. National Series. This is our first ever press conference, post-race press conference. We have the winners from the first ever Monster Energy Pro Downhill Series race. So this is number one. So no one will ever be able to say this. I want to give a few quick stats. One thing we're trying to do with this series is change the media game a little bit, give everybody a little bit more of a window into the athletes' minds and what they're thinking. And we want to share information with everybody too. So I'll do a quick roll through some stats for everybody. We had 375 racers registered in this race, 50 pro men, 14 pro women. And the largest category on the day was Cat 1 17 to 18 men at 54, which was pretty impressive. So. We estimate about 1,800 spectators on site today based off parking and ticket entries. Total prize purse paid out was $14,500, $3,000 going to the winner, equal prize in both men's and women. And we had one other special award today that we do have both the winners coming to the press conference. So SR Suntour Whole Shot Award was taken by Aris Van Leeuwen in the women's class. And by Dakota Norton in the men's class, but we'll see him in the other side with the other press conference. So without further ado, I'm going to hand this over to our MC Lars, our man in the corral that's been interviewing these ladies all weekend as they came across the line. And I just want to say thank you to everyone.
You.
I think a huge thank you to Clay Harper and all of the Monster Energy Pro Downhill Series staff. Absolutely unbelievable undertaking, and massive congratulations to you three ladies. I'll start off by just saying, wow, super impressed. You guys are so fast. And one of the coolest things is just the camaraderie, the smiles, you know, how you act off the track. So hats off to all of you. Thank you for what you do. And thank you for sharing what you do with everybody here. So three different countries of origin here at the table. Does anyone in the audience have questions before I start firing away at you guys?
I got one.
All right.
Do I, Mike? Okay. Jack Rice, Vital MTV. Harris, how was your, was this your first time racing in America?
Yeah, second. The first one was in the snowshoe last year for the World Cup.
How did this place stack up?
It was pretty sick. Yeah. It was quite a short course, obviously. It was like, I think our time was 3:15, 3:13, I think
it was. It was 2 minutes.
2:15. Yeah, two minutes. So quite short. But it was really cool. I found it quite hard to kind of get the flow on the first few days, but managed to find it today on finals day. Cool. So it was a pretty cool course.
Nice. And are you staying in the US or is it back overseas, or what's next for Harris?
I head over back to France on Thursday this week, next week. So yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks for coming. Just wanted to know that. Thank you.
All good.
I've got a question for Frida.
Step closer.
Seventh in seeding round. And obviously you stepped up and performed. So you're laughing. So we all probably, something must have happened, but we don't know. So
yeah,
share what happened in seeding.
I honestly felt like I was on a pretty good run. My top splits were pretty good in seeding too. And then I was doing this go-around line, actually, towards the bottom. I didn't want to do this one gap. And slid out in the corner, trying to go around the gap. So that was great. But yeah, then was able to put it a bit more together today.
Excellent. So did that play into your mindset going in? Did that kind of eat at you a little bit or kind of play games with you?
Well, I kind of just decided that I probably shouldn't do the go around. So I decided that I was just going to do the gap instead. And that worked out better. But yeah, it kind of gave me a different mindset to the whole day with just like trying to ride the good lines rather than finding ways around the good lines, you know? So that was good. So happy with that.
All right, fantastic. And Allie, seated second yesterday.
Yep.
And you came home with the big W today.
Yeah, it was definitely a grind.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about, you know, how it feels to be the winner of the first Monster Energy Pro Downhill. And do you feel like there'll be a little weight on your shoulders when you're rocking that red plate at the next event?
It is definitely a very good feeling. I'm very honored to be running the red plate. I honestly would rather take the stress of having that than not, but I'm going against some very, very competitive ladies, and I love it. It keeps me very, very accountable on my riding, for sure.
Awesome.
All right. I got a question.
Fantastic.
All right, Allie. I read down through the birthday list, and just curious, how old are you?
I'm 15.
So this is your first pro?
Race. Yes, first
official pro race?
First official pro race, yes.
I mean, we can't do a round of applause in a press conference, but I think that deserves one. So congrats, that's pretty crazy.
Thank you very much.
Probably feels good to beat the current junior national world champion as well.
I wouldn't say that. I think it was just nice to be able to go against such a very, very high athlete in the world. As you could say, in the world. But I think it was just a great honor to ride with her.
Such champions already, all three of you.
I got one more question, yeah. Nobody else does. Okay, this one is for Frida. So, as race director, I talk to a lot of athletes beforehand, and I know a lot about their backstory of how they end up at these races. Frida, what was your week like leading up to this race? Can you give us just like, you don't have to go too deep into detail, but just give us a few quick time blocks leading up to you sitting here. Including getting, like, I think you had to ask for the day off on Thursday or something. I can't remember exactly what the story was, but I know that you put in a lot of work to be here.
Yeah, so I'm getting my PhD in mechanical engineering as well, and I'm kind of close to graduating. It's hard to manage both the two things, so I'm trying to find time where there's time. But, yeah, so I'm supposed to leave for Europe soon, so I kind of have trying to hustle to get a lot of stuff done before I leave. So I was a bit on the fence to come here or not. But yeah, we were able to make it happen. Dakota was nice, and we figured out a plan. And we got here pretty late Thursday, and then you guys gave us a private shuttle to the top so we could track walk. And then the early practice on Friday worked out because I had to be in a meeting in the afternoon. So it all did work out, but it was a bit hectic.
Thank you for racing with us.
I got a question.
Harris, thanks for making the trek all the way out here. What? How does this stuff compare to some of the stuff you ride in Europe? And what do you think about this new national series? How does that, you know, help fuel the stoke for domestic downhill thing?
I think it's pretty awesome to have another series that's kind of separate from the American round, and it's obviously pretty high level. So I think that's pretty cool. Another series to showcase all the amazing riding from everyone all around. And then the track here, I mean, it's way more dry and rocky compared to what I'm used to. I mean, but in Europe also it's quite similar to here in ways. But generally much more steep in Europe. Yeah, way steeper, much more vertical drop in a race. So I think that was the main difference, yeah.
Cool. Ali, how's your season been kicking off? Like, you guys showed up at TTC at a regional race. We were psyched to see you there. And then Tennessee National. So how's the season going so far, besides this one, of course?
It's been going pretty good. The first race was kind of a struggle, just getting back into that racing groove. Honestly, it was just like a very messy round, but I'm just happy to have been there and had fun. TNATS, Tennessee Nationals, went really good. I couldn't have asked for anything better. Got to watch Frida absolutely mob. She was on a heater. But otherwise, I would say it's a very successful start to my season.
Yeah. And Frida, you had a good showing at Tennessee National. Home court advantage, of course. It's nice to see you over on our side of the mountain at Rock Creek. What's the domestic scene look like for you this year? You want to try to get a lot more domestic races?
Yeah, I want to go to as many as possible. It's really cool now. Like, I moved here from Norway. There's a lot of snow there, so it's good to be here to ride, but I didn't really have a lot of girls to ride with, and now there's a lot of these young kids coming up, which is really cool because it pushes me to try and do better, and I get some good races in before going to Europe and getting ready for the World Cups, which is really good. Trying to go to all the ones that don't crash with the World Cup season, essentially. So it's really cool. It's good to have somewhere here for people to learn and to grow and to get prepared for bigger races if that is what they want to do. So it's good to see.
Before we wrap up this first press conference, does anyone else have anything they would like to ask our amazing athletes? All right, and I'll ask the three of you, any closing comments that you'd like to leave with us?
I would like to just say I thank you all for creating this series. It was definitely an honor to ride here and obviously win it. Just say thank you to everyone supporting us and everything.
Awesome.
Well, she said.
Yeah, thank you guys. Yeah.
So sick to be here.
All right, fantastic. Well, round of applause for all three of these amazing young ladies.
It's all yours.
All right. Well, welcome to the Monster Energy Pro Downhill Series. What are we doing again? My bad. Welcome to the Monster Energy Pro Downhill Series press conference, and we're joined today with our top three Pro Man finishers, Austin Dooley, Lucas Shaw, and Dakota Norton. So I think there's a lot of folks that are curious to hear how your weekend went. Let's start with you, Austin, since you qualified first yesterday, and you mentioned you knew you could peel a little time off, but tell us a little bit about your run.
Race run, yeah, went pretty well. Track dried up so much from practice. Like, this morning, like, it gets so cold at night that the dirt was insane. But, we had a big hold, too, from one of the elite women going down. So race runs got pushed back pretty far, and track dried up a lot and was pretty loose. So made a few mistakes, like small ones, but I think everyone had the same story. So pretty good run overall, though.
Awesome. Do we have any questions from the audience?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, Bruce got it.
So first question is going to be for Luca and Dax, and you're both. Well, Dak, you're on a new brand for the season. Luca, we don't even know what you're riding just yet. So I guess let me just start. What did you pack in your frame bag today? Did you pack lunch?
No, I'm close to home, so I didn't need to pack too much weekend.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. So the serious end of the question is, Luca, how much different? I know we don't know about your bike, but like, how much different is your new bike compared to previous seasons? And I mean, Dak, you're on a whole new manufacturer, so
yeah.
Luca, we'll just start with that. Like, how much time do you have on your new bike that we don't know anything about yet?
It's pretty new still. I've been on it probably just over a month. It's still a work in progress for sure, but throughout my career I've not really changed bikes that often, and even though it's the same, it's still a Canyon, it rides totally different. So this one's been it took a little bit longer to get comfortable than what I was hoping, but we're getting there now, and now it doesn't really feel like a new bike to me anymore. I'm pretty used to it, so it's been good to actually race it. I think you don't really know where you sit until you race. So so now I've got two races under my belt and feeling good on it. So it's been exciting. A new bike is always kind of nerve-wracking, but also you're just extra excited to go ride, so that's been nice. We're getting there.
And Dakota, you're on a whole new manufacturer this year. How much time have you got on your new bike, which I was checking out, and you're clearly getting along well with it. How are you feeling? How's the new bike?
We got the bikes before the first of the year, and I've been able to travel around. This year I went to Europe a few times to ride a few different tracks, and then got to ride it on my home track, and just getting used to it. It's definitely much different than what I raced last year, a much simpler platform, and I'm super happy with where I have it now. We still have some work to do for sure to get it competitive, I think, on a world level track. The bike, that platform is great for racing in America, and I'm really excited to have Fort William be the first race, because I think it's going to be pretty forgiving before we get to some of the steeper tracks in Europe. So hopefully I'll be able to just continue to dial it in as the race season starts, and then hopefully be in a good place before we get to some of the rougher, steeper tracks in the middle of the season.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Anyone else?
Jack?
My question is for you, Dakota. This is your second win this season, correct?
Yes.
What kind does that? Do you think that helps you mentally or hinders you mentally for now going overseas?
I mean, if I was sitting here 5 seconds off to play at pace at this race, I'd definitely be puzzling. I know that both of these guys are World Cup, competitors. Dooley's been consistently in the top 30, and I think he's definitely showing that he's making the step into being racing at the front of the pack and the top of the race list. And Luca, I mean, this dude has piles of speed and is always there every weekend. So to be competitive with these guys and continue to be racing them for wins at home, it definitely brings confidence going into the race season. These dudes are super legit.
Sweet. Awesome, man. And my second question is for Austin. Austin, are you going back overseas this year?
Yep, head overseas on April 21st for, I think, 11 weeks. So I think the first 5 World Cups in that block.
That's awesome. So will you be with Commonsol running the same program as last year?
Yeah, same team as last year, Commonsol Schwalbe. So get back with those boys, do a little team camp before Fort William, kind of do a little race simulation, mm-hmm. kind of try to see how the new schedule is, like with the World Cups, and then fly over to Fort William and get that started.
Awesome, man. Well, you're up there with the best of them, and it shows, and just keep going.
Thank you.
That's all my questions.
Appreciate it.
Austin, welcome to the East Coast. You've been out here for a little bit. How has it been compared to your riding back west, especially today as the course got real dry?
Cali Boy definitely loves the dry conditions, but it's different than SoCal. Just a bit different, but similar in the same way. Similar in the looseness, but different style track, like a bit different than home, but yeah.
And how's it been out here racing on the East Coast? Kind of, 2 weeks ago at Tennessee National, you're in Dakota's backyard, and now you're over here in Luca's backyard. So how's it coming to their home turf?
Oh, it's real good prep for the World Cups, and I think the tracks on the East Coast seem better than the West Coast, in my opinion. So I think doing these two races and have the whole, have it so stacked, it's definitely good to see where we're at for the World Cups, and we'll go see how we're at over there.
Luca, how's it feel having all the big dogs come show up at your spot?
It's nice sleeping in my own bed. A little bit weird, but But yeah, it's good. Good. It's always good racing out here, especially on this track. It's tight times and good competition, so perfect prep, really.
Yeah, awesome. And Dakota, you put down a good weekend. It looks like you were having a good time on the track. And we don't see you on this side of the mountain very often, but how do you think you've been getting along with this course?
Yeah, I said after racing nationals last year that I wish I would have came and rode my bike here before going overseas. Luckily this year I've been able to go, went to Lusa for a few weeks, so I've got my bike on a World Cup track. But overall, to push as hard as you have to be successful in such a tight timed short race, it's almost like a sprint, it feels like. So the track was great, and being able to push the bike on a rough track, if you have the support to ride here, I think it's really good before you get to the World Cup, so you don't get caught out just being overall too soft. When you're not pushing super hard, it's easy to make the bike comfortable, but you know, when you're racing these dudes, you got to make it fast.
Sorry, Austin, one last question. The way things have been shaking out the last few years, all you guys coming out here and racing, does it seem like you need to come out east and race these races to move on and go to the World Cups? Or do you think you could just as easily do it on the West Coast?
I think it's definitely a good benefit to come east. I mean, you see, like, nowadays kind of everyone's sort of doing that. Like, everyone comes early and rides at Windrock and here as well.
Yeah.
And I think it's definitely good prep. It's just a bit rougher, a bit steeper, longer tracks than we have in SoCal. So
okay.
I think it's better prep for the bike as well. And you get some rainy days as well. And at SoCal, you're not getting that. Yeah. So it's good prep here.
Cool. Just curious, dude. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, thank you very much. Awesome job this weekend. And good luck with the rest of your seasons.
Perfect. Thank you. Appreciate it.